That girl. Yes. Hey, this is the Soul 70s show every Thursday night on Studio W, The Buzz, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is 6 o'clock Central and 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Welcome our host and co-host on the show, Q Lynn and Whitney. Good afternoon. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, Will. What's going on?
Everything is going on. A little excited here. Can't wait for the show. I know it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, man. We got so much going on. It's crazy. Yeah, I was just, all them feel-good tunes. I've been listening to these songs all week. It's just songs that I've been listening to throughout the week. I don't know how many times I didn't play this song. I don't know why I'm playing it so much. It's just this, and then y'all gonna hear the rest of the show, but these some jams. I guess I could call this theme, music theme is, I guess, 80s R&B. Because most of it, I just realized all of it's 80s R&B. So yeah, that's the music theme for tonight, is 80s R&B. But yeah, welcome to Soul Savage Radio. We back another week. I guess we're getting the savvy updates from last week's show. We had co-founder of As Told By Her, Haley Robinson, on, and that was fun. But yeah, you see how she talks to me? Just she talks to me via text message.
I was going to go say that. That was hilarious. I was like, that is so Haley right there. If I didn't know, if I had to guess who sent it without knowing, yeah, that was her in a nutshell.
Yeah, this fact is hilarious to me.
Because like, I grew up with it, I already know.
Like, she was like vividly like stuck on that. I was just making stuff up.
Correct.
Like, you gonna keep putting it out there like that, and then you publicly go say it. It's like, nah, that ain't what it was. And then when I sent it, she was like, y'all, to listen to the audience, Haley Robinson sent me a middle finger emoji and some other emojis I couldn't make out, but because I can't translate it, some of those emojis, but they weren't positive. I just know that I understood the middle finger emoji very clearly. But yeah, it's all love either way. She's family, but yeah, the disrespect was real. Last show. I just want to harp on a little bit, I just want to just be a definite Whitney. Just say the text messages was true, like the back up my claim. I just need somebody to confirm that for me.
Yeah, the messages were exactly what you told me they were going to be. But just to go ahead and put this on there, you know. That in Haley's reality, none of that matters, right? Like,
exactly.
It don't
yeah.
matter. But yes, what you said, yeah, it was clear. It was clear. Right. It was right there.
You know, we're going to let it pass. We're going to bypass that. We got a special guest on tonight. Just an amazing award-winning producer, part of a producer on the hit TV series Unsung that comes on TV1. They just started their 14th season last week. Started with Lloyd's R&B singer Lloyd, and this past Sunday they had a Dina Howard story on Unsung. And I believe the next this week coming up they have in the Jets, the baddest band of the 70s on. So I just want to introduce our amazing award-winning producer Isaac Taylor. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Who is this great producer you're talking about? I want to meet him.
I'm giving you all that, man. Welcome back to the show, man. I was giving you all the positives, man. You left on such a high. I was like, we got to get you back on to just.
That was cool. I appreciate you reaching back out to me. That was pretty cool for you to do that. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all. And we got a co-host, me and Whitney, my co-host Whitney, are going to be asking you questions.
What up, Whitney?
What's up? Welcome back.
Nice to meet you.
And I informed her of when he played the What's Wrong With You game, he was talking all the way right. And versus the Patty versus Aretha one, he was talking all the way right. And so he ate the
whole thing. Oh, God. I remember that game.
Nice.
Somebody, it was a lot of people mad, but it doesn't matter. You know, as long as the Patty one was secured in the game, all that matters. And so he won. But we'll, I ain't gonna harp too much on that, but I want to get to, I don't know if Whitney wants to go first, or if you got some questions you want to ask them first, Whitney, or you want me to go?
No, you go first.
Okay.
Don't be scared, Whitney. Whitney's
scared. Trying to get her notes together.
Like, nah, you go. Yeah,
what's going on?
That's a mistake, Whitney.
I was gonna ask. You keep every season. I feel like it keeps. You get more intriguing artists to highlight in terms of spotlight their career. Talk about certain things that happen, either good or bad, just milestones in their career that happen. So I want to know just recently, I think it's maybe 3 or 4 seasons that not just the 70s and 80s artists, y'all been mixing it up with 90s artists and all, as well as hip hop artists as well. I want to know, what's the feedback been like with that sort of, that mix up? Do you think, that it's, in terms of the viewing audience, do you think that they still have trouble with defining who's unsung or not? I don't want to ask like the define unsung, but do you think the feedback is pretty, receptive to the 90s artists that's being presented in terms of meshing the hip hop and R&B artists?
I mean, it's kind of a toss up. You know, we try to tackle different genres of music and eras of music, and therefore you have, different listeners, you know, a different type of fan base. You know, whenever we do like for instance, like the Jets coming out, you know, this weekend. So then you have that genre of people like, oh, I love the Jets, but then we just aired Adina Howard last weekend, but then you have a different mix of, well, I love Adina Howard, I don't like Adina Howard because she didn't, you know, that wasn't my time frame. All right, Lloyd is too new in a different era, you know what I'm saying? So we try to, you know, we are storytellers, and a lot of times, you know, we pick stories and we dig deep into stories, and we find that little golden nugget to be like, okay, this is something crucial that happened in this person's career that is worth telling a story. They have the music, they have the plot. And now, you know, now we tell their stories. You know, we get a lot of times people don't like when we do certain type of song artists, or whether it's hip hop or rap, or that someone came out in the 2000s compared to the 90s, 80s, or 70s, or even 60s. So, I mean, it's just stuff that we brainstorm about, you know, between, you know, in-house, and then we brainstorm with the network, and then, you know, we approve, you know, certain artists to do these shows. And I don't think our list is not running short, that's for sure. It's just a matter of, on the outside looking in, you're like, oh, do this artist, oh, do that artist. But if you're on the inside and you're a storyteller and you're a producer and you're a writer, you know, sometimes you can't tell a 4-hour documentary if someone really only had one song or two songs that was a hit or a chart according to the record books. Not a fan favorite, but according to the record books as far as Billboard and, you know, the charts like that. So we run into that a lot, where a lot of the feedback is, do this artist or do that artist. A lot of times we just can't do it. It doesn't fit into that hour of a show. They might have a great song or great songs or some might have some good stories, but we have to stick to a blueprint that's been working for us for 11 seasons, you know, and sometimes it's hard for, you know, some fans to, you know, take that because they just want to see their favorite artist. And I get it, because I want to see some of my favorite artists too, but it's like we still have to stick to the blueprint of what works as a full show, not a half a show, but a full show. So, and like I said, we get different feedback from different people. Like some people, you know, I'm sure they loved the Lloyd episode, and some people didn't. I saw some people loved the Adina Howard episode, and some people didn't. And some people are looking forward to the Jets. Or some people, like, then you got more of a gospel feel when we do Tasha Cobbs later on this season. You know, it's just like, oh, she's not on Sun. Why is she doing, you know, so it's like, it's always going to be that back and forth. But at the end of the day, people still want to see these artists. They still want to hear their stories. They still want to hear stuff they don't know. And by the time they finish watching the show, they're like, oh, I enjoyed it. I didn't know that about her. Oh, I love that song. Let me go back and re-download that song. Let me go find that album. Or let me go to church now. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different things that once the episode is over, people get a different feeling about it.
Right. And then I was going to ask, when doing these episodes, or which ones this season, what are the ones that you produced on this episode?
The first set of shows, the only one I can speak about is Kenny Lattimore. The other ones, I have some more.
Oh, nice. Nice. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's April 14th. Kenny Lattimore. That's going to be a really, really, really good show. So yeah, you definitely got to check it out. I'm not just saying that because I wrote it and produced it. I'm just saying it's going to be a good show.
Right. I just want to know what, out of, not episode in particular, but what's the ones that you've enjoyed working on the most that, not necessarily that you didn't know, but just the process of, you know, like telling the story, what was your favorite one? Or if you have multiple.
My favorite episode?
Yeah, I mean, just the one that you worked on to where you just had insight and of the artist and just you had fun with the process of creating it.
Oh, man. I have fun with Will Downey, with Will Downey's episode.
Nice.
Because just his story alone was so, it was so uplifting. And, you know, the fact that I was able to go into his world of when he got sick and he was told that he wasn't going to ever sing again. You know, so being able to capture those moments and, you know, and the emotions from him during the interview, you know, that was kind of, it was very, what word am I looking for? It was good. I was happy to be a part of that story because it gave him closure. You know what I'm saying? And to see where he's at today, him still performing, he still has his voice, and just years ago, all that was threatened to be taken away from him. So to see him still doing it and see people still, him still selling out shows, you know, I was happy to be a part of, you know, telling his story and being the back end of, you know, the journey that he's now on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to get a little bit of the devil side, the heathen side coming out of me. What's one that the artist or the singer or the group or whoever person y'all were highlighting telling the story that you didn't really care for that music, but then when you heard their story, it made you like their music?
I think the only ones that I really wasn't too educated about as a listener and as a fan was one of my earlier episodes, which was Gil Scott-Heron, who was...
Nice.
He was a poet at first, and that was mm-hmm. that was just so much before my time, so I really didn't know anything about him. And his music was different because he was more of a poet and a storyteller. You know, it was more so of the lyrics and just speaking them as a poet, but then putting his, you know, poetry to a beat, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to just kind of learn all that stuff all at once, and then I started to like his music. I mean, he has many albums, and you know, to have to do all the research to tell his story and to you know bring his story to life, I was able to obviously had to listen to all his stuff and read a lot, and I learned to respect him not only as a poet but as a songwriter and musician as well, because he played the piano or the organ or whatever. So I would have to say Gil Scott-Heron as far as one of my personal episodes that I had to work on that I knew nothing about, and it turned out to be one of the best episodes I've done.
Okay, I thought you were going to say like Dave Hollister or something. Not saying like I love his music. I thought you were going to go back. right. But is there any ones that like if they had like a hit song that was popular like in the 90s? Or, you know, even early 2000s, some of the artists that you had on there, is any of them that was like, I didn't really care for it, but then they, like, just drew you in? It wasn't any of that. It was just that one in particular.
There are some, but I can't really say it.
I was trying to get you. I thought I was still employed. Right. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I tried to mess up the church.
No.
I mean, that's stuff
that we'd be like, why are we doing that? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why are we doing that person or why? You know,
right.
But then again, that's not the producer in me. That's just the fan.
Right.
They had one song that why we, you know, then you turn to find out that there were other songs. It just wasn't as commercial. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
Right.
So then you start, then that's when I become a viewer. And I'm like, now I'm learning. You know, I'm like, oh, I remember that song or what happened after that song. Oh, I remember that song too, but it just didn't get that kind of type of airplay. So I'm like, there's been a lot of songs. I'll be like, a lot of artists. I'm like, why are we doing that? Why come we can't do this? They have this song. But that just goes to show you how it's a double standard of, you know, when it comes to being a fan compared to being a storyteller. Like, as a storyteller, you don't have to like a lot of the stuff you're telling, but you're still a storyteller.
Right.
You gotta sell it. But But as a fan, I'm like, I don't want to see that. I want to see something else, you know.
Right.
So.
100% get that. 100%.
Give me a look at them.
I told you a little bit of the heathen was coming out. I was just curious. I was just, not to throw any names out there. I was just curious if that was playing around. Okay, that's all I needed right now. I ain't gonna go no more into that. But I was gonna ask you, you've been nominated again for NAACP Award, that airs March 30th, I believe, on TV One, the Image Awards, and I just want to know, how does it feel? Does it, you ever get tired? Because you've been nominated and you won multiple times. Do you ever get tired of the accolades of it, or is it just
no.
a pulling and shove the work you put in on the series?
I love it. I mean, it doesn't capitalize, you know, or doesn't like give me that final confirmation, like, wow, I really did something. But it is helpful. It does help to know that. Okay, now it's like you're going up against other people, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like your competitiveness come out, like, you know what I'm saying? Cause
right.
like now you're in a category and there's other great shows or great news, you know, things out there, but now you're in that mix now, and now it's like, okay, now I want to win. You know, yes, we have good viewership on the show, and, you know, the artists, we get the respect from the artists for telling the stories in such a high fashion and, you know, a tasteful way, but now it's like, okay, now your peers get to see that, you know, you're right there, and it's cool, you know. I like it, you know. I have three, so I wouldn't mind getting four. I mean, I'm not going to say no to it. So if we win again, then it's just another thing to mark off, and, you know, keep it going, you know, so I'm definitely excited about it. I appreciate it, you know, and yeah, I mean, hey, the people speak. I didn't, you know, they like it. They like what we do, and they continue to like what we're doing. So I'm happy to be in the middle of all that.
Okay. I think I got one more question, and then I'm going to throw it to my co-host, Whitney.
Is Whitney still there? Did Whitney hang up?
Yes.
I did not. I am still here.
I just got one more question. I want to know, like, in terms of, like, the creative process of doing this documentary style of producing, is there any piece that you worked on to where, like, afterwards it had you, like, the accomplishment you had, like, you put everything, like, aligned correctly in terms of your creativity? Was there anyone that... where it felt like satisfying, like I did that, like you knew, like for sure that you did everything you could to make it great. I know probably all of your projects you do that, but what's that feeling like in that creative process with doing documentary style pieces like this, like Unsung?
You said what's the creative process?
Yes, like just what's going on in your head in terms of what you're trying to project to, or trying to put for the. What's the concept of like what you say what Unsung is with storytelling? When you're done with the process of that, what's that feeling like when you're trying to get it to the people or trying to get them convey whatever it is you're trying to say in that, producing that certain, Unsung episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, with so much stuff going on today and the way people perceive every single thing, whether it's small or big, and make it their own, it's very tricky. And as a producer and creator, it's like we have to be careful how we tell these stories. You know, sometimes we have to get creative. You know, we have to make it more understandable to the viewers, because we just, you know, one thing, me personally, I would hate to do is to put something out there and it be creative, but then it'd be taken the wrong way by other people, because, you know, I'm trying to do it one way, but then I'm not thinking about how other people are looking at it compared to what they think about this artist or, you know, the talent that we have. So it's kind of like just, you know, taking everything you gather from your research and everything you wrote, the interviews, and you put it all together, and now you got to make it all come to life in less than 43 minutes. And yes, you have to, you know, you have to really be creative in telling these stories, because you can't add everything. And sometimes you can say something and cut it off, and if there's no rebuttal to it or there's no comment, then the only thing someone's going to remember is what you cut off. So, you know, we have to be very careful and get creative when we tell these stories, because you only have so much time. And time is always against us when we do these shows, you know, because you have to squeeze a lot of career and a lot of personal experiences into literally 42 minutes and some seconds. You know, everyone thinks it's an hour documentary. No, it's on the time side of the hour, but the actual documentary is not an hour. We don't get an hour to tell a story. We get 42 minutes and some change. So I think, you know, going into an episode, what I did with the R&B group Next, you know, that was a hard episode to do, because there was so much stuff going on between the two brothers and RL. And then now you got to bring these two separate lives, three separate lives together and tell one story without missing a beat to where something might come off wrong. So, and at the time they were fighting with each other. So that was even a harder part to me, to tell a story about some guys that were brothers that grew up together, but two were brothers and one felt like a brother, but then try to tell the story to where it makes sense to everyone, you know. And to see that story come to life was like, I think that was one of my better episodes, because after that episode, you know, they came together and they squashed it. You know, they squashed whatever beef they had for many years. And after that Unsung episode aired, they got back together and went on tour, and they've been touring and selling out shows ever since. So I think that was one of my episodes where I was really trying to be creative and telling a good story, but also telling a real story to make these guys realize that they were fighting over nothing for all these years. All they needed to do was sit down and talk to each other, and that's what they did. And ever since then, they've been back together and been touring and providing for their families, making new music, and I still keep in touch with those guys to this day. So I think that was one of my better episodes, to where I was able to be creative, tell a fun story, tell a serious story, but also tell a heartfelt story that struck a nerve all three of the members that got them back together.
My questions are mostly about like the creative process and everything kind of behind the scenes. So you had mentioned earlier that you're storytellers. So like when creating the episodes, is there a certain way that you approach telling the story, especially since you mentioned it's not actually like a hour that you have to fill, but more like 42 minutes. Like, is there a certain way just from jump that you have to go into creating your content to ensure that you can actually meet like that time slot?
Yeah, it's just more so just preparation, even before you get to making that initial phone call to introduce yourself. You know, I have to research first on who the person is. I mean, if I know the artist and I'm very familiar with their music, it makes it a little easier and it makes it more exciting. But sometimes we get artists that we know nothing about. We just know that they were great artists, you know, so it's more preparation. You know, you have to look online. You know, a lot of times what you find online is not always true, but it's still something to get you started on. So once you get started with building your outline to how you're going to tell the story, and then that's when you have a pre-interview session or a conversation with the artist, you know, because a lot of times stuff is not online. You know, we've dealt with artists that they don't have a Wikipedia page, you know, and,
right,
you know, you started from scratch, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, have to build a story, and you have to tell a story that's, one, entertaining, interesting, because sometimes people don't have great stories, and that's fine, because some people just didn't go through the hardships of other people, but that doesn't mean that their story shouldn't be accepted, you know?
Right.
So you have to, the three key points that we factor in is, you know, the beginning, middle, and end. You know, everything has to have a beginning, it has to have a middle, and it doesn't have to have an end, but it still has to stop somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So
as long as
we can tell a story that has a roller coaster of emotions that go up and down, and sad, happy, excited, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, as long as you have some of those key factors in telling a story about someone, then you're going to want to watch it. Are you going to be excited about telling it? Because you can do so much things with it, you know, and then that's even before you add the music to it, because the music itself is going to tell a story. So you're telling this person's story even before you get to the first song, and you already got them engaged. And once that first song hit, then you're like, okay, I got them. You know, I got them in, and let's keep it going. And that's part of the first, you know, creative process I do is, you know, we got to research who these people are and then find out what's the backstory. Everyone has a backstory. Every single person has a backstory. Whether it's exciting or boring, everyone has a backstory. And it's our job to flush it out and see what we can do to it.
Gotcha. And then along again with the content, like how do you know that you have everything you need? Like I know that there's a beginning, middle, and but do you have a way that you go back and kind of check yourself to make sure that everything stayed on track, that you, I guess, stayed the course? Like I'm sure it kind of sounds like an easy question, but
it's a good question. I mean, a lot of times we think we're on track, but
right.
You know, we think we do a certain, but then we have an executive producer who's very smart. I mean, he's been around for a minute, and he's actually worked on the show, the VH1 show back in the day, Behind the Music. So he's very smart, and he's very smart and very good at pointing out that what if question or what else happened, you know, and. You know, although we go into an interview with an outline and a concept of how we're going to tell the story, things change. You know, we might interview the talent. We might interview their parents. We might interview a brother or sister. And, you know, stuff change, you know, and then we have to change with that because it's like, oh, well, they didn't, especially dealing with group members. If it's like more than three in a group, now you got more than three different versions of a story. So now it's like,
right.
Who's telling the truth? You know, it might be their truth, but it might not be the truth. And so, it's like, you know, you have to always go back and, you know, second guess yourself. Not second guess, but always follow up with yourself because things change. And even though you can feel like you told the best story in the world, people still not happy. You know, there's always going to be some people that's not happy with it. Oh, you didn't tell my version. My version was the truth. His version was not. And that happens mostly with groups and band members. Those are some of the harder shows to do. Especially if they broke up. They broke up, started their own group, they don't like each other. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the hardest things to do is tell those type of stories because you get so many different versions of it and you can't please everyone. So someone's going to be mad.
Gotcha. So is there, since you can't please everyone, how do you decide which one, I guess, you're going to go with or how you're going to portray, like, the different versions?
I mean, we try to see which is actual fact and what's not, you know. And
if there's stuff
that we can't prove, then, you know, a lot of times it depends on what the topic is, the subject. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something that we feel is going to tarnish the show or is going to make something worse in someone else's lives, then that's the stuff that we just discussed in-house and with the network to address it right away. Because we're not bloggers, you know what I'm saying? We're not TMZ. So although it's a documentary, we want the truth to come out, but if we don't have any facts stating the truth, then the show itself won't elaborate on it. If the talent wants to talk about it, then we give them that chance to say their piece and the other team say their piece, and then we let it go. We don't sit there and try to play judge and jury.
Nice.
You know, so if it's something that's crucial, something that's already out in the public and out in the media, we will address it, and then we also let them address it. But if they tell two different stories, then that's just what they told. And then it's like, well, we don't know what the truth is. No one knows. I guess they're going to take it to their grave because no one knows. But we don't try to play devil's advocate in that case.
Gotcha. Smart. And then to kind of follow up with something you had mentioned earlier, so you mentioned being like a fan, a viewer, and a producer of the show, and can tell like just by how you're talking that you are all of those things. How do you make sure that you keep those different roles balanced, especially since it sounds like sometimes you could end up filling all of those roles simultaneously? Like, how do you make sure one side is not too out of whack with another?
Oof. How do I make sure?
It's just a matter of going back and reviewing your work. Once everything is all said and done, the producers get first crack at looking at their work. You know, we work hand in hand with editors, even before it gets to the boss, the big boss, before it gets to the network. So we work hand in hand in crafting these stories. And we don't have that big of a crew to where, like, oh, you have a writer, you have a director, you have a production this and production that. No, the producers really run their show. They follow their show from beginning, middle to end. And it takes time, you know. That's why it takes us a good 2.5-3 months to really craft these shows and, you know, make it award winning, you know. But it's also your resume. You know, your name is attached mm-hmm. to it. So regardless of the accolade, that's last. The fact that your name is on it, like, you have to really pay attention to your work, because your work is your work. And once it's out there, it's out there. You know, so it's like,
right.
That's not going to change. And, you know, you just take pride in what you're doing. And that's how I view it.
Nice. No, that's a great way. And the last thing is not a question, just more of a statement. You had mentioned that the Kenny Lattimore episode is going to be on April 14th, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to point out that that is my birthday, so I know that that show is going to be great. So looking forward to that. That's all I've got.
Oh, that's chill. Okay. Well, yeah, it is. For one, again, that I did it, and two, that it's your birthday, so it's going to be a great episode.
Yes.
I already know.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes, and I think my only question is in terms of I'm trying to figure out how to frame this.
Oh, just say it. You're supposed to say something crazy. Go ahead.
No. It's not crazy at all. It's just... in terms of what you're doing now, what is the,
oh,
I guess, the feeling
question.
Of creating? No, I'm just getting a little deep into it in terms of what your president now, after this, in terms of your creative process of doing other projects. What's that energy like once you do Unsung in terms of giving your energy to something else that you're working on?
Honestly, doing Unsung, I've been a producer for, like, 14 years now, and one thing about doing Unsung is when I first started doing it was so different for me from the other stuff I've done, whether it was talk shows, court shows, reality shows. But then doing Unsung, I think it allowed me to really, really spark something in my mind creatively, and I just ran with it. You know, I've done two films. I produced the concert series that I don't know if I even was doing that last time we talked, but I've created a concert series, and now I'm doing another show in April with Will Downing and Keith Washington and some other artists. And, I'm releasing my first book this Saturday, you know, so that's going to be, that's something that I just finished working on. That's totally new for me, is writing a book, you know. So it's just creatively, it's like I'm just going, you know. I'm just like a hamster on a wheel that's just running, you know. And it feels great. I like creating. I hope this book does well, because I want to turn the book into a movie. And I'm just ready to just do all these different things. And I think Unsung put me in a position to just meet so many people that I listen to their stories and I interview them, and, you know, I just soak up all this information, and then I just apply that to, okay, when I'm done doing this, I'm going to go take a break and do something else. And then I come back to this, you know, whenever they call me to do another show. So it allowed me to be free and to just create, and I'm just creating, like, big time. I got my brain don't stop. So it's, I think it's cool that I got that boost doing a job that I love to do, but it sparked something else in me to just do something else. And that's what I've been doing. So that's what I've been up to since last time we spoke. You know, I created a live concert series. I wrote a book, and who knows what else I'm doing next.
Right. Multiple things. And so I think that's all the question. I think the only ones I'll get into is this part two of what's wrong with you. Is this going to be two quick ones?
So, oh, gosh. Here we go.
It's not that hard. Okay, I just want to know, Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige?
That's a hard one. Okay, if I have to go with number of songs that I personally like, I would have to say Mary J. Blige.
Okay.
If I had to go with vocally, I would go with Faith.
You know what? That's the one that matters the most. So you pick Faith, so you're talking right. That's all I want to hear. It's the same with the Patty versus Aretha when you preface that. I'm like, that's all I care about is that part. So you talk, ain't nothing wrong with you on that. Okay, the second one, this is 112. I just saw some people arguing about this, but 112, the R&B group, the R&B group 112, these two songs of theirs, Cupid or Peaches and Cream?
That's true. I mean, it depends on what's your vibe, you know. Yes, that's kind of. I mean, if I had to bump something in the car, I'm bumping Peaches and Cream. But if it's Valentine's Day and I'm bringing someone some roses, I'm playing Cupid. But
see, that's a good question because you went right where I was wanting you to go because it was like Peaches and Cream. And that was my point with it. And so you listen, that I've concluded that there's nothing wrong with Mr. Isaac Taylor. This is the second time he's inked this game. I don't have to like coach him or nothing, explain the rules. Everybody else I have to explain the rules to when they ain't talking right. And then he don't do that. He just be talking right. So
yeah,
I say there's nothing wrong with Mr.
I felt like you was putting me on the spot last time. Like I gotta now you,
no,
because
you just
nervous,
did
an
added pressure
now.
For people. No,
yeah,
you just get added pressure from people. That's what it was. We didn't need any radio pressure from outside because it's just my game. And so,
yeah, the game is rigged.
The only opinion matters is mine. See that?
The
like
game is rigged.
Outside forces like that make it difficult when it's not a difficult process. And so you won the game. That's all that matters. And
right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we got Mr. Isaac Taylor. Thank you so much for coming on. Unsung is on its 14th season. It airs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You check your local listings on the East or West Coast or down South or the Midwest, wherever you at, to check the local listings of when it comes on TV1 at your cable channel. So thank you so much for coming on. Isaac, let the people know what you're doing and where they can find you on social media.
Yes. Please go to mindoftwo.com and check out the book. Get the book. You can see the tips of the short film on there. I would love to get feedback from that because I'm really, and that short film is with R&B singer Tank. So he plays in my short film. So check out that. Check out the book. You can find me on Instagram at Ike Taylor and Facebook at Isaac Taylor and Twitter, Isaac Taylor, the number two.
And you said your book is available now? It's available now?
It's going to be released this Saturday. I'm having a book event in Hollywood on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I'm going to check it. I got to, once you drop the link, or I'm going to look for it, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to purchase it. That's
Are you guys in L.A.? You're not in L.A. One of you was.
I'm by coastal, so I'm there a lot for business. I go there a lot for business, so I'll be there soon.
Oh, with my man?
In a couple of weeks.
Did you still work with the guy from last time?
Yes. Oh, I forgot to say thank you for the T-shirt. I just wore that 2 days ago. Thank you so much for the T-shirt. I forgot to tell you that. I forgot to text you that. I love the T-shirt. It's amazing. I believe Evie enjoyed his T-shirt too. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for coming on. But yeah, man, I can't wait to check out your book, everything that you have going on. You're incredible, and then I hope you rack up another win at the Image Awards in a couple
weeks. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And thanks, Whitney. Thank appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much
for coming
on. All right, bye.
Yes. You have a good night.
All right.
I think
you got the clap for you. Yeah, man, another great interview. Always enjoy having Isaac on. He's incredible, talented, dropped so many gems off all you listeners in. That he's just incredible. Love, enjoy having him on. And so, what we go, if Will's ready, we can go, or Will, if you want to do your segment real quick before we go to break, it don't matter, however you want to do it. Will, did you drop your Pinot Grigio? Where'd you go? Is he queuing up the song? What you doing? What's Will doing? There we go. Hit the 6 minutes to race with Will. He said he's racing.
Oh boy, another week of rage here on the bus. 6 minutes of rage coming up. You know, last week we covered chicken wings and mushrooms, all right? But we'll get into something else different tonight. Lee Yang, a.k.a. Cindy Yang. You want to remember that name. Now, how does that fit in with Kraft and Trump, huh? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it. The rich and famous, man. It seems like today you've got to pay to play. You heard me. You got to pay to play. You want to get in a good school? You want to get in an Ivy League school? And you dumber than a brick? Hey, just have parents with a lot of money. We'll get you in. Hey, this cat. Oh, I don't know what you know about it. William Singer, that $25 million, scandal on education. Well, how do they get their advantages? Well, they keep it because they have money. Ivy League schools, businesses, housing, jobs, their neighborhood. Hey, if you guys haven't heard about it, the largest school recruitment scandal in the U.S. was discovered, just about a day or so ago. Well, guess what? These famous people, at least about 50 of them, will have handcuffs, and some of them may go to jail because we're talking about tax fraud, tax evasion. And guess what? You put your kid in school, not because they're smart. Oh, they could be dumber than a box of rocks, but yay. Now, I'm going to get my kid a degree. Some of them can't even spell school. Some of them don't even know how. A SAT? No, they SIT on their ass and playing video games while you get their degree. Deutsche Bank? Guys, I told you there was a connection with Deutsche Bank. It is rumored that Trump couldn't get a loan from anybody, but he went to Deutsche Bank. I told you about this several months ago. Well, he also screwed over Deutsche Bank. After he got the first loan, he gave him the middle finger salute and says, hey, guess what? Not only I'm not going to pay you, I'm going to sue you. Then went back, and guess what? Deutsche Bank got a loan. But it's rumored that that wasn't Deutsche Bank's money that he got, folks. I told you about VTB out of Russia, didn't I? It is rumored that VTB out of Russia backed that loan. Oh yes, check it out. His business is under scrutiny. His inauguration is under scrutiny. His foundation is under investigation and so forth. And so, how about the administration? There are at least 17 investigations going on, over 34 indictments, and a bunch of handcuffs going on. Folks, I would advise if you want to buy a stock today, put it in metal as in handcuffs. Oh boy, you might get a huge return on your profits there. Oh, Manafort, can you believe this? Hey, there was a congressman by the name of Jefferson, and I believe it was back early as 2012, 2013, got 13 years for corruption. Oh, how about the mayor of Detroit, who got 28 years for the corruption? And even with the added on sentence, Paul Manafort only got 7.5. Do you think there's imbalance between people who get sentenced and people who don't, and what it actually is? Jared Kushner, folks, Jared Kushner, oh boy, the $1 million, well, he could be a playboy, but he's not. He's playing with Russian secrets, I'm sorry, nuclear secrets, and he wanted to sell them to Saudi Arabia. Guess what? I think I told you last week that he had one of his builders, as a matter of fact, 666, is that Fifth Avenue in New York? Oh, that he owed $1 billion on, and that loan was due. $1 billion. One billion with a B, folks. And guess what? There is a parent company of Westinghouse that paid that debt. I wonder why. Because that parent company wanted to sell 50 nuclear reactors to the Middle East. Remember, Kushner needed that security clearance. He wanted that security clearance so he'll know what's going on, so he can secure that deal with the Saudis to sell nuclear secrets. And Westinghouse's parent company paid off $1 billion loan. Look, I got a whole lot less than that. With Westinghouse coming and step in and pay at the buzz, we've got debts too. Can you help us out, brother? Oh, hell, give a brother a hand. The Southern District of New York, oh boy, they're looking in. Inauguration funding, inappropriate rather, super PAC funding, and organization funding. We talked about that. Let's get back to Ms. Lee, aka Cindy Chang Yang, and she is the one that used to own the salons that, guess what? Billionaire Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, he was there, right? It is seen. We've got it documented. We've got the pictures, folks, of her enjoying taking selfies at the Super Bowl gala with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And it found out that she is selling, guess what? Access to the president. Yes. She is linked to two communist parties in China. And she's also was selling interest and access to Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And also, guess what? You pay Ms. Yang, aka Miss Salon, Chinese Salon woman, enough money, you can have dinner too at the White House. That's my 6 minutes of rage. Back to you, Q Lynn.
Hey, well, you said a whole lot there. Whitney, it's so much to go into it. I guess the follow up or just comment on his 6 minutes of rage, it's just so much that's happening. It's like every like 3-4 hours I'm getting an update about this Manafort case, and then of his time and how much he got, and then it's like so many other like underdeveloped details of everything surrounding the administration, and then we got this whole, it's just so much that's been talked about in the news, but I'll just say that I don't like, what did you think of Nancy Pelosi's, response in terms of the impeachment thing? Do you think she's going softball on that? Do you think they're going to pressure her for that if it's like stuff that's going to lead to, I mean, in terms of, like the stuff, if it has like, something that's going to stick to where, like, he's already committed so many treason, but just without a doubt, in terms of the House, they just voted. I just read that they voted. I'm trying to string all my thoughts together. It's so much that happened. They voted for Mueller to, bring forth all the information, and they all voted unanimously right, for him to release all the information.
So 420 to nothing. Bipartisan. Yep. They sure
did. Right. Exactly. Well, absolutely. What do you think about that?
Wow. Wouldn't, if you don't mind, let me go first on that, and I'll toss it over to you.
Uh-huh. That's what I was saying. No. That's what I was talking to. I didn't know Whitney,
okay.
I was just talking to you, Will. I was wanting you to.
Oh yes. Absolutely. Now I think that Nancy Pelosi is a foe that Donald Trump don't want to deal with. I think she's slick. Now if you listen to what she said, underline, well, no, I'm not going down that route right now because it's divisive. Now if you look at her underlying statements, it was unless we find something that we have to act on. She's not giving up the ghost on that. She's not giving in and says, no. What she is, she doesn't want the Republicans to get all riled up because they are saying, all you guys want to do is impeach. No, I think Nancy is waiting for the report. What she's telling
me. Oh, I never even thought about it like that. Yeah. I think you might be right. I think she's playing it like that.
She is playing Trump like a fiddle.
You know, I think you're right.
Yep.
I think you're right on that.
Yep, she's playing him like a fiddle. Absolutely.
That makes 100% sense for that to happen. Now it makes sense. Now.
She wants the evidence to come in so it'd be unrefutable, right? So they can't come back and say, oh, you guys are just trying to impeach the president because you guys don't like the president. And I'm so sick of people saying that. You know, it has nothing to do with whether we like him or not, but there's never been so many different scandals going on in this country as we see with this president, and the Republicans are turning a blind eye. So, Whitney, if you want to comment on that, then you feel free. And then I want to get back to something about this scandal about education, and I'm wondering, these haters of affirmative action, oh, do you hear me now? And why we need that. But Whitney, if you want to address the thing about Nancy Pelosi.
No, I don't have anything more to add on it. I think what you said was spot on, because I didn't think about that either, but that makes the most sense. Like, why would you show your hand up front?
So that's it's better. Right.
The thing that they wouldn't be expecting is for people to be like, nah, never mind.
Right.
To just back away from something, because that's not what typically happens. Typically, you fight it all the way to the end. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Right. Nancy Pelosi is going to backhand him like a stepchild. I guarantee you. She's going to, but you are something else. And I was looking for this word, Q-Lynn and Whitney, and I really would like for you guys to comment on this. And this is how the rich and the famous are able to buy their ways through life and just take advantage of everybody else just because they have money. And I want you to think about something. Just because they have money, they can buy degrees for their kids, right? They can set them up in the best jobs, okay, because you know there's some cronyism going on there. And how about the best neighborhoods and things of this nature? And these kids are so dumb right now, their parents have to buy them degrees. But what about the hard-working kids out here who don't have that money, that are left, they can't get a seat in college because these knuckleheads are buying up the seats? And there was a term I was looking for today. I was scratching my head, and I want to thank Stephanie Atkins out of the RVA, because I couldn't think of this word, because there was a phrase, a term, Q-Lynn and Whitney, that the rich people, and especially white people, hate, and that's called affirmative action. And you see the need, why we need affirmative action, not because these kids are less than or not as smart, is because that the rich folks are buying up all the damn seats. Q-Lynn?
Right. I was there. I thought Whitney was going to comment.
Well, so the whole thing with that is just a mess, because you have, so I read an article the other day before this came out that was talking about how we pretty much have a lot of students who don't like make it into college for a variety of reasons. And so the article was going on to explain that, you know, college maybe just isn't for some people. And as you read through it, it gave some examples of people who didn't finish college and all this other stuff, but they were still really successful. But the common factor in all of that were that these were mostly like white people that they were referencing who had all this success. And this was also a white person telling this story. And the thing that somebody had said to me that really made me think, they were like, if those were, we will tell that to our disadvantaged and people of color to keep them from pursuing like these higher educational goals, but we won't tell like our white students. And I was like, I had never thought about that way. And so when this came out, I was like, it kind of all goes together to me. Like, education is really, it's real, like, cutthroat on the academic side. Like, people don't think about it like that because they're not really in it that deep. But once you get past, like, undergraduate and the further you get into, like, the whole collegiate sphere, you'll see, like, there's a lot of, like, politics and things that go on, mm-hmm. like, in the back that nobody really knows about. And there's all of these, like, different narratives and stories and, like, things that they throw out and tell these communities, but they leave out, like, some of these kind of, I don't want to say shady practices because I don't see it all firsthand, but if you're on the campuses, like, there's certain stuff that you notice. There's certain people that you notice getting treated differently and things like that. And so when this whole scandal broke, I was like, oh my gosh, like, a lot of the things that, a lot of, like, Black students that I would see and talk to, how we would feel on campus, like, stuff that we would hear, stuff like that. When I saw the scandal break, I was kind of excited about it because I was like, maybe this will still start opening up some of these other things that go on that no one wants to talk about. Like, if you got to pay for your kid to get a college degree, like, really, you probably don't even need to do that. If you got that much money, give your kids some money and let them go through whatever it is that they want to do. But while you were here, like, paying for your child to get a seat at the table that they may not have even wanted a seat at, there was somebody who did not get in. Like, these are highly competitive schools. And, like, who knows how long this has been going on. And it just feeds into this whole cycle. Not to mention, many of these schools, like, where this scandal broke, these are schools where, like, our political figures go to school at. So mm-hmm. then it kind of, like, you know, it makes you start to think, like, okay, we got all these same type of people going to these same schools who get elected. Like, we choose to elect these different officials. They all coming from the same place. And now, once again, things that we have kind of felt might be happening are true. We're seeing, like, yes, that is exactly what's happening. Like, it's just the whole thing is just kind of a nightmare. It's like, dang, you can't even like, is there anywhere that I'm going where I'm competing against people where it's like a fair playing field? Like, you know, just like, it kind of blew my mind a bit. Just like, you know what, I'm gonna get off the internet for a bit. Like, dang, not that I was trying to go to Harvard, but, you know, like,
right.
Like, don't, like, you know, just dang, draw the line somewhere. Right. Like, it ain't that serious.
Right. And Q-Lynn, you know, they had one white girl that was on the TV, and she said, I really don't, her mom bought her interest into one of these schools, and she said, I really don't care about school. I really don't even care about it at all. But I got a question. Yeah, check this out. So guess what? This guy, William Springer, what he was doing, he was setting these kids up with, now I see a lot of people are going down. As a matter of fact, I think, the athletic director for USC got fired. There are a bunch of people at UCLA, that have been suspended. And then there are people, a lot of these Ivy League schools, the question, like, they had their kids poses as athletes. And the kids, are you kidding me? They probably run the 100 in 30 seconds. I'm serious. Real, you know, they had one of these famous people. She had her kids, acting like they were, on a rowing team. And the kids never rowed in their life.
Wow.
Okay. Now, got a question for you. I want you to address that. Now, should the kids that are enrolled right now, under false pretenses, and their way have been paid for them, and the ones have been graduated, should they be stripped of their place right now? In other words, should the kids in school right now get kicked out, and the ones who have their degrees, should they be disqualified?
You know, that's a great cliffhanger, because we can add on to that. If you can, real quick, we gotta go to break real quick, so we can, we gonna transition to that. We'll get to the news topics.
But okay.
If you're ready.
I'm ready.
To go to break.
All right, let's get it.
When we'll be back, we'll get to Raggedy News.
All right, let's get it.
We'll be back, y'all.
to your soul best man. Just be good to me and welcome back. Soul Savage
hey,
Show.
Rodale.
That's right. Hey, that's hey, a, that jam is cold. That jam is still cold.
That's my jam right there.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you.
I need to add a segment. I need to add another segment. And I just thought of it. It's called, it's going to be called Savvy Song Translation. Or is this Savvy Translation? I think that's what I should call it. I even forgot the name. But Savvy Song Translation of SOS Band Just Be Good To Me. Basically, she's talking about being an open relationship. And so, when she say, I don't care about them other girls, just be good to me. That's the secret. And so, she say, I don't care about what you got going over there. How many multiple sex partners you got over there? Just be good to me. And so, it's kind of a double negative, because it's like, they was like, you never do that to me. But I'm like, well, kind of. With you. And that means they are doing it to you if they mess it with you. Mm. They got too much. I don't know. It's confusing, so. It's like, you know if it's an open relationship or a side piece. That's the confusing part of it. That's, we call it savvy translation, and it's both side piece and open relationship.
okay.
Savvy translation. That's a new
savvy translation.
I'm going to break down every song. If it's a song that's inquisitive with the lyrics, we gonna break it down. They never paid attention to it or never noticed it. But we get talking about these college scams. That's actually part of Raggedy News was talking about this, and it's actually bigger than just. It got a lot of heat from it because the actress that was on Full House that came out like the late 80s going into the 90s. And then they revamped recently a couple, like, from, like, 2 years ago, and now, like, it's on, like, second or third season on Netflix, Fuller House, where they revamped that show, but they focus more on the kids and, or whatever. I'll watch it, so. But anyway, the actress, man, I had the names pulled up. I have the story. Y'all have the story pulled up? Because I had it in my notes.
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Locke, that's her name. And the other actress from Desperate Housewives, what was her name?
Something Huffman.
And they're the face of it right now, but they counted at least 33 people, and I think it might be close to 50, but.
Yep, 50.
The main guy that's involved, right, the main guy that's involved, he's done this more, that's been taking money, and cheating for these SAT tests. He's done over 800 of them. They said that's alleged. What they're charging him for.
Well, Keelan, you know, he used to be a basketball coach. He was a basketball coach out here in Southern California, and he started small, right, recruiting kids to college and things of that nature, right? Then he moved out to this ritzy area, Newport Beach, right? And so you know that's where it expanded, right? This is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you right there are more indictments to come, and these people are being locked up because guess what? They are now being accused of tax evasion and tax fraud. So it's getting real, real deep.
Exactly. Yes, a whole lot of information. Whitney, what do you think on just the information that's out? I know you were talking about it from your angle. I want you to talk more on it. Because to me, my whole thing with it, it reminds me of that whole, not to make this, even though the race does play a part in it, but I think any kind of college or university that they all play a part in, I think HBCU schools do it too. But we saw evidence of it. Just a snippet of it we saw with that case with that guy. I forgot his name, with the Howard University situation, that scam situation. It sort of reminded me of that. And they got their own, like, everybody has their own in-house. The Ivy League schools do it, and HBCU schools do it. They all have this thing to where that people can donate money, and not even go do that, but they could just get in just off of that as well in terms of alumni and stuff like that. And the reason why I'm comparing it with the Howard University was because
that guy was in charge of the funds. You can't tell me that the people over him, it come to find out that the people that were his bosses were in on it too. And so he was just the one that got the most out of all of it, because the rest of them got like a little bit from that, like little portions of whatever it was they took. He took like over $500,000 or $250,000 approximately, and they took mm-hmm. like maybe $6,000 to $10,000 from it, but he took the most out of it. And those are the people that were involved in that, and they got fired, and then he was just the one, he just had transferred to a different building. That's the only reason why I guess he wouldn't get fired. But, and then also the president, what's his name? I forgot the one over Howard University, like they, like he has all kinds of scandals going on, but nobody, they're not going to prosecute. That's what I was saying with the embezzlement. I was like, just because he, I was like, they didn't get charged with it, it wasn't because he wasn't guilty, it was because they know if charges get filed, they're going to get a whole investigation done on that whole school and every, like where that money is, because they were in debt for like millions of dollars because of that, the president of Howard University. And I was like, yo, it's the money trail. I was like, if they investigate that, if they go further with it, then that's going to open everybody up for scandal. And it's sort of the same thing with this one.
Right. And they do with star athletes,
it's more,
too.
It's probably going to be more people that come out. It's going to be like a domino effect of more people, because it's still stories coming out of, like, more. Like, it started out with just those, like, 30 to 50, and now they're talking about it's, like, over 800.
It's right? A lot.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. Like, you have to look at, and then you ask a really great question, because I was watching a show and they were asking the same question, and then one of the panelists made a great point, and they were like, what if the student wasn't aware of it, but what if the parents did pay, but they did everything right in terms of their grade point average was great, and they did all the work. Like, they did everything they did, and this is just added information. I was like, that's a great point, because it's like, if they're not, it's different from the Full House actress kid, because that's who it was, that she has a YouTube channel, and the crazy thing is that she was intuitive with it as well, because she had a scholarship, apparently an athletic scholarship to whatever Caucasian sport activity it was. I don't fucking know. Canoeing.
It was canoeing. Yeah.
It was some kind of Caucasian activity. I was like, I don't know that's about this. But anyway, she wasn't participating. Both of her kids weren't participating in that. And so that was, like, they clearly knew that was going on. And she probably, her at grade point average probably sucked. And she probably didn't make good grades. And so I say it's all individual cases. I feel as though if all the ones that were, did all the work they were supposed to do, and they just wasn't privy to any of what their parents did in terms of how they got the application, I feel like if they still did the work, then I feel like they should keep their diplomas. But I feel like I feel like it should be taken like individually. I don't think all of them should be grouped together, because all of them didn't know. And from what I know, it's only been one that's been reported, and this guy, he paid the Full House actress paid like $500,000. Her and her husband, and then one guy paid over, he was over a hedge fund, and he put in, gave him $1 million, and their kid knew about it, because they had that guy that's being prosecuted, like he had the test taker, like, proctored the SATs, like he was there, like, filled it out for him, like stuff like that. And so I feel like definitely, because one of the students, they scored like a 1400 or something, or it was like low, and then they had added like 400 more points to their score from the next year when they tested, and that's how they paid off one of that guy to do it. And I was like, yo, that's crazy. Yeah, people, they have, like, he's literally, either they had him sitting, I mean, took the test outside and had either, he told the person, the girl or the boy, the answers, or have them scribble, or they did it themselves. Either they filled it in, or they gave the kid the answers and told them what was right and what was wrong on the test sheet.
Right. And Q-Lim, I have a question though. I'm not going to let these kids who allegedly didn't know anything about it off the hook, because when we were in high school, some of us knew whether we were qualified to go to Yale or Harvard or not. We already knew that.
Right. No, no, no. I'm not saying that. I mean, basically, if they got paid, then they go up on the list. You know what I'm saying? In terms of being looked at. It's not necessarily that they're, like, paid like that. It's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, every case isn't that way. And so I was looking at it as, like, they just, because some of them are, were just paying for their admission to go up. You know what I'm saying? To where they were guaranteed to get in, to where they didn't have to wait. You know what I'm saying? Like, paid to get on a waiting list. They didn't have to wait on a waiting list to get in. They like, immediately paid. Mm-hmm. Some of the parents were paying for them to immediately, like, get accepted to it.
Of course. You know what I mean? Of course.
And so, but yeah, that's where I'm coming from with it, because I'm not looking at it like every situation is, all these students didn't have the grade point average to get into a school like that. Because I don't think all of them were like that, because I think some of them had, like, maybe a 4.0 grade point average. I'm saying that those ones that, the what I'm relating to with that, the ones that had the good grades and just their parents just paid for them to, didn't want to wait for them to, however long it takes the waiting process to get admitted to those schools, I guess they just sped the process up is basically where I'm coming from that point of view. But what you're saying, absolutely. The one, I feel like with that singer, I mean the actress and kid in particular, I feel like that's bull crap. I feel like she should be expelled from school. I feel like she should have a diploma, because she's clearly evident that she doesn't care about school, and that's completely illegal what she did, because you're getting a scholarship that doesn't belong to you, and that you're basically taking money that you don't need. Because you're not, first off, you're not in, that sports activity. You're not active. It's been shown and proven that you haven't been a part of this sports activity. So of course, in that case, absolutely, they need to be kicked out immediately. Like, and if they have their diploma already, I think one of them is a junior in college, all of that they should be expelled, period. That's my point of view.
Well,
I'm like, that's evident. Like with that case, that's evident that those kids knew about, I mean, if they're aware of it or not, you knew that you wasn't a part of this athletic team. Like, you knew you wasn't trying to be an athlete in any of that, and you didn't, that money was for an athletic scholarship, and you're not an athlete, so why do you have it?
Right, and there was so many that too. There was so many like that. Well, see, you know, how do you determine which kids knew and which kids didn't? And either which way you look at it, you got kids who got.
You can know by their test scores. Just analyze what their test score, was. It's ways you can look at it.
That's
what I'm saying. Like with the one that they pointed out, the guy that's over the hedge fund, and he's been fired. They fired him from that hedge fund when all this revealed. The one that paid $1 million for their kid to go to, I forgot what school it was, but they. That guy was fired, and their kid knew about it because they had horrible grades. I'm like, what your point is, absolutely, it's been, one of them already been proven to do that, but I don't think that, because it's like 50 cases, I mean like 50 students, like they just been naming at least 4 to 5 of them, like they have like accurate stories to pinpoint these, and so I don't know what all the other stories are. I was just throwing a devil's advocate, maybe not all. I'll just say, like, individual, just take it case by case. And if all of them are just like the ones that's in the news, then all of them should get that. But I'm not going to blanket it until everything's been, like, they investigate everything, which they're probably not going to, because there's so many of them, they're probably not going to publicly put all that information out there. If it is, it's going to be like an independent publication that puts all that information, but I don't think any news outlets are going to like go case by case with 50. If any of them, it's probably going to be that guy that's like the ringleader of all this, that has all these cheating scandal stuff. The one that's I'm trying to pull his damn name up.
His name is William Singer.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's why I keep saying Singer, because I remember now. That's what his last name was, right. Singer, that did all this. And so I think they're gonna keep updates on him. I feel like any other, if he's being
indicted, and they finally bring charges, and he goes to trial. If he goes to trial, if he pleads guilty, I feel like they're going to keep, I feel like the mainstream news is going to keep, you know what I mean, keep their hand in it. But, yeah, I think everything else related to every other story of the parents involved, I feel like they're not, unless it's like a really big scandalous news, I don't feel like they're going to talk about it. They're just going to keep the fire under the singer guy because he's the main guy. Because you know media outlets, you got to have the story, and he's the ringleader of it all. So they're going to spend more time on it, and then they're not going to go by the other cases unless it's like real scandalous. Like the singer, I mean the actresses, like they were the faces of it, but people don't know that it's more than 50 that are doing it. And so they're just in the spotlight because they're, because of their fame and what they're doing.
Well, see, another thing along with that, another thing with that QLM, this guy Singer had people taking tests for these kids while they were in school, and he encouraged.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah,
right.
He encouraged that they did online classes. Now, am I passing a test, QLAN? I know whether I took that test or not. All right. If I didn't take a test, and then all of a sudden I get an A, then come on. That's why I said all of these kids need to be disqualified. The ones that supposed didn't know, and the ones that knew, the ones that that graduated need to have those degrees decertified. Because if I have a degree from Yale, guess what? I'm gonna get a top notch job somewhere, right? I'm gonna give you a real quick example. I have a brother right now in Colorado that has two master's degrees. He has, he had a really great job at this place, and guess what? The company was bringing in people who were less qualified than him and making, them his supervisor. So, a couple of weeks ago, he just gave him his notice. He said, look, I'm not giving you 2 weeks. I'm leaving today. All right. So this stuff goes on all the time. So nobody's going to tell me that these kids don't know what's happening. Now, they may not be charged, but I think all of them need to be disqualified because there's no way you're going to find out whether they knew or not. There's no way you're going to find out.
Right. And I'm reading this now. It says that, in terms of the Fuller House actress, Laura Loughlin, it says they've been indicted for allegedly taking part in a nationwide scheme. And it says prosecutors confirmed Tuesday that Huffman was arrested without incident. Authorities are seeking to arrange Loughlin's, well, she's already did that, and then Loughlin's husband, I didn't know this, he's a fashion designer, Musimo Janot. Well, I don't know how to say his last name. Musimo, I just say that because I don't know how to say his last name, has also been charged. So Loughlin, she's charged as well as her husband, so they must got evidence against that. And it says that they filed the U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts alleges that her and 29 other people were involved in a scheme, and it says bribed college entrance exam administrations, which we just discussed. But, yeah. And it says that Huffman and her husband, William H. Mason, that's the Desperate Housewives actress, paid $15,000 to have someone take the SAT in place of their older daughter, and it resulted in a 1420 SAT for her, and it says also allegedly for her younger daughter, but it says they decided against repeating their involvement in the scheme. And it says Loughlin and her husband paid, I said $500,000, I guess I was right on that, $500,000, $500,000 so that their two daughters would be designated as recruits. Yeah. So, yeah. And it says Wake Forest University and Georgetown University amongst USC are among the other schools involved. It says they're unsure if Harvard University is involved as well. There's still like ongoing reports on that. So it's not, they're trying to say Harvard might have some as well, but just for now it's just, USC, Wake Forest University, and Georgetown that are on fire now, but it might be more universities, you never know, but yeah. Whitney, what'd you think of this? I'm pretty much, I don't know. I think what I said initially, I said is just all these schools that have this in-house scandal, that's just my thing, and I feel like it's always been that way. And people say it's a white supremacy thing and a systematic thing, which it is, in terms of those kind of schools, but I feel like all schools have that going on. That's just my opinion, but you go ahead, Whitney.
I mean, all schools do have something going on, but you'll find, like I said, if you even just look at like the entrance exam. So like that was just one part of where these students got assistance, or some of them got assistance. So when I was taking my entrance exam, like I bought the book to study for it. I did some classes online, free prep, stuff like that. There were classes around town, that are offered to get like help on how to study, prepare for it, all that type stuff. What they're saying is that even that process, even that small piece, that's just to even get your application completely filled out. Like taking an entrance exam is just part of the application process. Even that someone got assistance with, like getting a 1400 on the SAT, that's phenomenal. That's automatically going to jump you to, you know, a higher portion of the list without somebody putting some money in on your behalf. And that's where I have the issue, because if from the jump, when you are just at the application process, you got the type of assistance that allowed you to not even have to deal with that, that's already an advantage. Part of going to college and obtaining a degree, it's not just going to the classes. It's about you being able to keep yourself, like, in the game from start to finish. Like, they don't just hand out diplomas. And I know my school didn't make no bones about it. When they told me that I had finished my degree, and then they actually realized that they did not, that there were some classes that I didn't take, even though I appealed and people apologized on my behalf and whatnot, I still had to go do that stuff. So at the just very, very minimum, the only way I could even see allowing someone to be able to still keep everything that they have is that they go back to wherever we can trace this stuff started and they start over. If you actually did the work, took the classes and all that stuff, you're as smart as everyone made it look like you were, then redo it. And I know that sounds like harsh and unfair, but I just don't really see a way around that. I think this is much bigger than like we realize that it is. Like this didn't just start. Like, this didn't just start with these students.
No.
I think there's, you know, so much more to it. I think it's deeper than what we may, like, ever really understand. But I do know, like, at some point along the way, especially if somebody is photoshopping your pictures and, like, these sports and athletic events and things like that, at some point I feel like the students, even if they weren't fully aware, that they probably had an idea. But, you know, as more stuff develops, maybe I'll change my mind and maybe I'm saucy because I didn't have the most fun in school the second time around. Like, that's possible, but I don't know.
Right.
It's a mess either way, because I know that there were probably people who were trying to get into, you know, some of those spots and they didn't get them. And that's what I really feel bad for.
Right.
I feel bad for, like, them debating over whether these kids get to keep their stuff. It's the ones who didn't get in or who now are unsure if they didn't get in because one of these kids did. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot to be dealing with.
Right. Hey, can I add something? Julian, can I add something?
Oh, well, hold on. I was just going to make the point we'll go ahead.
Okay. Now, right now, as of Wednesday, lawsuits have been filed of kids who went to these schools and they got the degree legitimately, right? Now, the first lawsuit's targeting the universities and individuals charged by federal prosecutors in a sweeping college scandal were filed Wednesday, right? In her suit, Stanford University undergrad Keila Woods claimed to be damaged because of the time and money she wasted on applications to other schools implicated in the scandal. Separately, Jennifer K. Toy, the parent who filed a civil complaint in San Francisco Superior Court, claimed that her son Joshua, who had a 4.2 grade point average, was not admitted to some schools because of the despicable actions of other parents implicated in the scandal. Mm-hmm. That's why all of them got to go, in my opinion. Back to you, Q-Lan.
Right, exactly. And my thing is, well, like, how that process is going to happen, we don't know. because, like I said, it's an elitism thing. I don't even think it's a racism thing, even though they are harder on black kids. Like, it's like a, like so much process, but I think it's more to do with classism than anything. Because that's just my thought process. I don't even look at it as racism. I feel like it's classism and elitism with these schools. Because it's like if your parents went to those schools, and that's all they did was they just knew somebody there and had money. And that's all it is a money play and a power play. And that's why I referenced the Howard University was because they knew, like, his people, like, all of them knew each other. And his parents were alumni with that. And the reason why he could have that title over those finances and stuff like that. Like, he was taking away all the money he took from that. He was taking from people that were almost, the kids they were saying were homeless. Like, it was a big story, the Howard University, that they couldn't couldn't move into the dorm room. They didn't have money for that. That money, that financial aid, all that money was going to help pay for that, and they didn't have any money for that because that guy scammed all that money there. So that's what I was saying. All of it is elitism to me. And it's like, it's about, if you're going to dismantle it, it's about the people, the power players. Who's the power players? It's the people at the top and the ones that do all the dirty work for them. Hence, the athletic director. Hence, you know, we can keep going down the list. It's just about who they know and who you affiliated with. That's what's going to get you what you want in terms of how all this college scamming thing happened. Because that's all it is to me. And it is sad because it's like a lot of kids that struggle that got to work multiple jobs just to pay for school and tuition and all that. Just not even worrying about it, admissions fee and stuff like that. The application process, like what Whitney was talking about, how much money. I don't even know how it is pertaining to certain schools, but you got kids that got to, like, struggle and make do with that, and then on top of paying for school, and then can't get a scholarship and all that. So it's always, to me, it's always weird, you know what I mean, going into that. But you got anything else to say on it, Whitney?
No, I could spend, like, a whole week on that. I'll wait till more stuff develops.
Oh, believe me, next week there will be. We'll have more then.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, Q-Lan.
Okay. We didn't talk about this Jaguar lady. We didn't write any news. We're going to talk about this Jaguar lady, but I'm going to let Whitney get your thoughts on it real quick so I can close this door real quick. Hold on a second. Come here.
All right. Now, what was that, Whitney? What did Q-Lan say?
I think she was talking about the Jaguar story. So, did you see that one where the woman was trying to take a selfie?
No.
And she stepped, I don't mean to laugh. That's not funny, but it is because people will go through any lengths to take a selfie right now. But she stepped over a barrier, at the zoo, and she's trying to take this selfie, and Jaguar, like, grabbed her.
What?
I think there was still like a gate between them, but she stepped over the barrier that people are not supposed to cross, you know,
I saw the way that looked from the video, and she climbed, that barrier is so big, and it's like a garden in the middle of it. That lady stepped through that garden to get to that, because the case, it's like a barrier, it's so much space and yards from where you're supposed to be as the one that's at the zoo. And so that lady climbed over the barrier, got in that garden, got past the garden, and got in front of that gate where the animal was to get there. You know how much effort it took for her to do that?
Like, that's what she got crazy to me.
And so what I imagine from looking at the phone, because they just had they showed a still image of the barrier that was there. She climbed over that, and so I'm thinking she pulled the camera out and got super close. And even if she stepped over the barrier, it's still some space. So she walked all the way up to that gate for that Jaguar to grab her like that. But of course, she got right up on that gate. And, I mean, that whole thing that keeps them closed in. She walked right up on that Jaguar to get that selfie or that picture, whatever she was trying to get, video, whatever. I'm pretty sure she put her hand out to where, because you can just reach, because the gate is so much space in there to where they can put their hands through there. And so that's probably all it did, and just grabbed her hands or whatever. And it's like, what are you doing? Like,
oh
what
my God.
Did that make for you to do that? She just walked up, like, and then what's crazy to me is that, well, just for the listening audience, they didn't, I was just worried about if they were going to put the Jaguar down, because I feel like you're invading their territory, and you're in their space, so.
Like, for real.
There's no sense for the Jaguar to the die because of her stupidity.
Right.
And so I was glad that the zoo made a statement and said they weren't going to do that because there's barriers. They basically said, girl, there's barriers there for a reason.
Wow. Is she still
and,
living?
And that's simply what that statement says, just to paraphrase.
Is she
and
still
so
living?
They were basically saying, huh?
Is she still living?
She just survived.
She just
passed up. Yeah. The video just showed her the after effects of it, and from what the witnesses said that saw it, one of them said that they put a water bottle in the Jaguar's face to distract them, and I guess they wanted the water bottle, and that's how they got the Jaguar loose from her, lose the grip, was to put the water bottle, and then she made the woman that got attacked, she was on the news talking about, yes, it was my fault, but I feel like the zoo, like, should put barriers up, and then it was just the interviewer, the way he looked at her.
What?
He's like a meme on the internet now, because he was like, really, girl? Is that fancy you going to win? It was just funny how he was looking at it, because I was like, how do you say, but? They need to put another barrier up. Like, no, that barrier was there for a reason.
Right.
Like, you went above and beyond to put yourself in danger. Like, the way they had that set up, there's no reason. Like, it's not like the barrier was, like, 2 inches from the Jaguar's face. No. She went out of her way. She climbed over that barrier to get to that Jaguar. Because she was like, no, that's not close enough. I need to get right up on the Jaguar.
Okay.
She couldn't zoom in on her phone camera. She had to get up and do it. It's like, girl, what is wrong with you?
Right.
This is the Caucasity of the situation. Because you got the Caucasian.
Hold on. You said Caucasity. Is that a word?
Keep it in. The Caucasity of the situation.
It's a word, Will. It's a word.
It's a word.
You can look that one up. Yes, that is real.
Okay.
I feel like they have this embedded DNA of the obliviousness, entitlement, the privilege. That's what I call it. The entitlement, the privilege, and the obliviousness of how they conduct themselves.
Right.
Where they feel like they're immune to everything. And that kind of complex to me is so problematic.
Wow.
It's like, you can't be, it's a step above, like, lacking common sense.
Wow.
And it's like, how do you operate like that? Like, to me, like, what kind of survivor instinct do you have? I'm just thinking, like, this woman as a person, like, you probably get hit with, with carts at the grocery store because you don't pay attention where you're going.
Uh-huh.
You probably get honked at a lot in traffic because you're oblivious to everything. You probably think nothing's your fault. It's just kind of Caucasian people that get on my nerves.
Even
when I talk about Caucasian people that I be encountering, this is the kind of Caucasian woman I be encountering. And so I don't feel bad for them when they get mauled by jaguars. Because you do stuff like this because you operate in this obliviousness that's so infuriating. It's like, how are you this oblivious? How are you this? This stuff like this infuriates me because it's so stupid. And it's like, how do you not use your brain? It's like common sense stuff. And it's like people that like common sense like this hurt the shit out of me. It just drives me crazy.
Oh, boy.
It's like, you are in his territory. What you think gonna happen?
No.
I hope you ain't want sympathy because I ain't got nothing for you.
Right.
It's too stupid. You went above and beyond to get tackled. That's what you get.
Wow. She wants to sue the zoo. They need to sue her for being stupid.
She need to save all that money, go to a psychiatrist.
She's going to lose, she's going to lose that case.
She needs to save her lawyer money for weekly therapy because you need it.
She's going to lose that case. Hey, that's called.
That's what don't make that. That's another reason why, because it's like you at one point you trying to act like, oh, well, it wasn't my fault, but they should have made precautions. No, they made the precautions that was needed. You just want to not feel bad about being dumb, like you. And then she said she didn't that she didn't like that she was recorded because it was her personal, like what? I mean, personal.
No.
Trauma or something like that.
No. Oh
that,
no, it needed to be recorded.
No.
We needed to see it.
Right.
She was in public.
It's a good thing too. So then, the zoo can protect themselves as well. If you, cause you, like you said, you trying to, or what he said, you trying to sue them.
Right.
So you making them, trying to make them a liability when you the one that was at fault.
That's
and
right.
If everybody sees a picture of the barrier, they will know from the distance to where the customers are supposed to stand when they're looking at the animals. That you went above and beyond to get attacked.
Really?
That barrier was there, and you went beyond the barrier.
She's
so
gonna lose that.
You got what you got.
She's gonna lose that case. She will lose that case. I promise you.
She's gonna lose it. Right. Exactly. Are we gonna move? Right. Exactly. But yeah. The Caucasity, like I said, of this goofy Caucasian woman.
Caucasity. Caucasity.
The internet was on fire. Oh man, I was crying all day reading the memes. Oh, I wish I could pull them up. It was so funny. They had a meme of Shannon Sharpe, and it was like the Jaguar. The Jaguar when he went back to his family and told him what happened, and they was like, "Well, I got to have you." He's like, "I'm gonna put that cue on you. I'm gonna put that barbecue on you. I got to have you." Something like that. It was funny. We're gonna move on to savvy news.
That's funny.
We're gonna move on to savvy news and then go to, we'll go to break and then finish up savvy news. That's what we'll do. Well, if you're ready, we go to the next song so we can, wrap up, cause I'll have a topic and we just talk about savvy news, cause there's only a couple. And, we'll be back.
That's Atlantic Star. All right, and we are back with Q-Lin. More hilarity, fun, and Caucasity audacity. How about that? You need to have a Q-Lin, you need to have a segment. A Caucasity audacity.
Yep. The Caucasity audacity. The Caucasian nature. I didn't come up with names. I don't know. We need all These Caucasian stories, these ridiculous, we need to add that. That's, I need to come up with a name for it. Caucasity. What do we call it? The Caucasity. You know what, since we talked so much about it with the flaming hot Cheeto puff in chief, we need to call his segment Caucasity Rage or something. Yeah. Nah. Nah. <laughs> 6 minutes of Caucasity or something. I don't know, but yeah.
You talking about the orange mushroom?
Yeah. The orange mushroom.
I was like, it's not over. There's one more in there.
I think that's what it was. It made me visualize. Like, I was eating. I was like, ugh. And then he said, what killed me though last week was he said short stem.
Yep.
That took me out.
Yep. Small, yep. Big head, small stem.
I was at Whole Foods and I saw a bunch of mushrooms in a package with a stem, with short stems on. That's what made me visual. I think I saw it like the day before or something like that. Cause it said mushrooms and stems, on the package. And so when he said that, it gave me the visual. I was like, oh man, well, it's crazy. But yeah, man, we talked about, savvy news before we go. But yeah. Yeah, we playing music theme, 80s R&B, playing the tunes, man. Atlantic Star, When Love Calls, the jam of all jams right there. Whitney, you get into that? You get into them old cuts?
Yeah, that was like, that music could be played, like, in the house easily. Not all my other music could, so yes. Like, I know
I was thinking last week, I didn't have time to pull up Solange's, because I was going to play a couple songs from that album, but I didn't have time to look them up for Will, and so I was like, so Whitney, I mean, Haley had to suffer through. Because I know she'll listen to songs like that. It's like her era probably just 90s music. I'm like, you was anything other than 90s, post-90s and 2000s when people was wearing baby fat, Chubbs and baby fat, because they apparently supposed to be coming back. Fat Farm or something like that. I was like, she listened to music from the Fat Farm era and stuff.
She because that's when she came up.
Right.
Yep, that makes sense.
That's all she listened to is that, the records. I'm like, man, it's more than that, than 702 and what's some more? I can't think of no more.
3LW, like, that would have been one for her.
I can't believe she said, Tina, that's one of my favorite Tina Marie songs of all time. I need your love. She was like, it's okay. What? That face is crazy in this song. She's talking about that's the same thing she said whenever we was playing. I remember when she first came on the show and she had made me mad because she was like, I don't like it because I just don't like it. Whatever. She didn't give no reason why she didn't like Prince. I was like, that's why I played Prince the whole show. And it was like Prince-esque songs like Vanity Six. And we played Vanity Six, Nasty Girl. She was like, oh, it's okay. What? That's why I was like when it came out. What did you disrespect?
Haley.
I'm calling her out now because I know she ain't gonna listen to the show, listen to this playback on the she ain't gonna listen to the full audio of this. That's why I'm saying this all day. I'm saying why she here too. I ain't scared. I was saying she ain't here for me to say it now. But yeah, we get to Savvy News before we run out of time. We only got like 5 minutes left, I think, but it's just two quick ones. I lost it. Oh, here it is. Utah Jazz. Well, Russell Westbrook had got into it. Well, there was a fan heckling. They were playing, Oklahoma City Thunder recently was playing Utah Jazz at, Utah. And one of the fans were heckling, Russell Westbrook and then was quoted saying, you need to get on your knees like you used to or something like that. It was referencing. But I don't know. He said, when Russell Westbrook explained it, he said more stuff that was racially, had racial tones to it, but from what I saw on the video, he said, just to give a quick excerpt of what he said, I'm gonna fuck you up multiple times. And he said, you and your wife. He said,
yep.
I'm gonna fuck you up. that's pretty much the extent of what the video, what we saw in the video. I didn't even know who he was talking to, and so they showed a clip, or I saw an image of the man. He had a beard and a hat on or something like that, and it showed him. But Utah Jazz has recently banned the fan, so I put that in savvy news because I thought it was cool that they banned him. He's banned from all Utah Jazz games that fans that heckled. Right, and I feel like it should be a rule. It should be some kind of fines for these fans. Because them fans, man, are ridiculous. I can't tell you how many things I've heard where they just yelling out because most of them be mm-hmm. drunk and they just be cussing out the and some of the NBA players will look at them, some of them ignore them, and then sometimes they might say something to them, but they be like on one. And y'all all saw that mayhem back in the day in 04 with the Detroit Pistons versus Indiana Pacers. I feel like that energy need to come back to the league because that was everything. With Ron Artest, the game was almost over. I remember watching that live on television. That was the greatest moment in history. That was in 2004. Ron Artest was playing for Indiana Pacers. He went and sat up. He didn't like a call that was made. And so he went and sat up on the soundboards where the speakers and stuff was. And somebody threw a drink at him from the crowd. And he didn't know who it was. He just reacted to whoever looked like they was guilty. And he went, as soon as he went to audience, the whole place went crazy. Man, Steven Jackson, all in the crap. He's like, I'm gonna hit somebody. He's like, that's right up his alley. Steven Jackson went in smashing on everybody. I remember that. It was so many players that got suspended. That was great TV right there. It's just so much great. I like basketball is getting back to its roots of the physical violence. I like that. And then Thursday night to choke somebody out. I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah.
Like, so many those great moments that I missed live. Because I told you I missed live when James Harden got hit in the face with the basketball.
And that's the one I saw live. And I was like, oh, yeah. I know Q Lynn ain't seen this.
I was like, he choked him. I was like, gosh, Ibaka. And to me,
yeah.
I was like, I didn't even know who the kid was. He played for Cleveland. I was like, I guess he's a rookie. I don't know who he was, but he made Ibaka mad on that play. So.
Right.
But yeah. And then the last one, talk about the Aretha Franklin tribute. Did you watch it when it premiered on Sunday?
I watched it on the
it was on CBS.
On their app. Yeah. So I did. I liked it. I was a little taken aback by SZA opening because I actually could not tell which.
Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, I'm sorry. After Jennifer Hudson. Yeah. No, you're right. She did open because she came out singing pretty much. But after that, when
she did
SZA,
like five songs,
I
was like, damn, they're gonna let her do most of the tribute.
Yeah,
I was like, she picked the right song.
That was
songs.
A good
I was album. Like, her hollering ass voice, I was like, she picked the right song. I was like,
yeah,
was
that's
like,
what got it started.
But there ain't no way she did real good on that one. I like that. I feel like it's just certain songs she hollers good on where the hollering is necessary. And the reason
right.
Song well, is definitely necessary to holler on. But everything else, we toned it down.
Which worked
that.
Out for her, because nobody else
negative
12 will come out like that.
At all times.
Negative 12?
Yeah, negative 12, because she's so high, she got like a surround sound mouth. It like follows you everywhere, so she needs a definite negative 12 at all times, immediately. But yeah, it was all right. I liked it, but yeah, it was some of them that, it was pretty good. I mean, they didn't seem jump to it, though. That's one of my favorite Aretha songs, Jump to It. I find it ironic with those lyrics for Aretha. Because I was like, really? I was like, you know, you relatively speaking, because where are you jumping to? That's funny. I was like, Aretha ain't jumping nowhere. Jump to it. Where are you jumping, Aretha? I was like,
you might have had a little
step. Okay, that makes sense.
Stop.
I'm just saying. I just had started looking at. Man, y'all, this is Soul Savage Radio. My savvy heathen talk is, if somebody cut you off in traffic, don't mind putting that Serge Ibaka chokehold on them. Get away with it. Well, you got savvy heathen talk, Whitney?
Shoot, look, for all the people who got into college the right way, I see you. That's
oh, I got another one. Talk. We playing the amazing George Benson, the legendary George Benson. Like I said some weeks before, spread. He says, "Turn your love around." I say, "Spread your love around." If you got multiple situations going on, if you laying up with somebody, you gonna break up with.
Oh Lord!
Oh boy!
And you get those deposits. Wow. Spread your love around. Ain't nothing wrong with that. If you
keep
your
okay.
Turn your love around. Also spread your love around.
Oh my goodness. And on that note.
Love around. There we go. Sing the song, George. We out, y'all. Soul Savage Radio. Every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We out.
All right. Be back next week.
Black Women Hustle. We interview a Black Women Hustle. Next week. Right. We'll be back.
But you just don't understand. Girl, you've been charging by the hour.
Hey,
oh,
I'm down right here, y'all.
I'm trying to show how much I love you. Still believing in romance. You're taking way too many chances.
And folks, another excellent Soul Savviness night here on The Buzz on the Soul Savviness Show. Q-Lynn and Whitney, great show. And for more, keep it locked right here on The Buzz.